If I overlooked this on the sheet and I'm asking you, I'm sorry, but let me just make sure I've got it correct. Okay. So you are,
okay,
you're from the Chattanooga area. Are you from Chattanooga itself, or are you from one of the cities near here?
I'm actually from Red Bank.
Okay.
So
okay.
Pretty much in that area.
Okay. Red Bank. Did you go to high school there?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. What year did you graduate?
For a little while. I didn't graduate.
Oh, okay. Okay. And so you're from Red Bank. Now, when did you join the Corps?
I joined the Corps. You talking about when I raised the right hand, or when I actually went to boot camp?
Boot camp.
Okay. 2006, January 17th.
January 17th. Okay. All right. And I forgot to ask, how old are you?
I am 24.
24. Okay. Are you married? Have any kids?
Going on 10. Sir's over here joking with me. I am married. I have no kids.
Okay. Do you mind if I ask your wife's name? Would you like to include that or no?
Oh, no, that's fine.
Okay.
Kayla Marie Oglesby.
Could you spell those, please?
C-A-L-A.
Uh-huh.
And then her middle name is O-G-L-E-S-B-Y, and then obviously my last name.
Okay. I'm going to spell that back to you. Tell a quick screw you, man. I'm talking to you over, like, six time zones here. Okay. So Kayla is C-A-L-A. Middle name.
Yes, I know. It's spelled really crazy.
Okay. Middle name is O-G-O-E-S-B-Y. Is that correct?
No.
Say, okay, read it.
O-G-L-E-S-B-Y.
Okay, so Oscar Golf, Lima, Echo, Sierra, Bravo, Yankee.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. And, okay, now it said in the sheet.
So you still have your lingo?
Yeah, I did radio, so that was my whole thing for 5 years, so you'll never forget that. Okay, so tell me a little bit about your job. It says here, it was kind of a brief description. You do a lot of stuff that working on getting gear out, kind of doing briefs for the colonel. But give me a little more detail. Tell someone who's never been in the military, who's going to read this story, you know, in the paper, kind of explain what your day-to-day is like, what's your job, what you do.
Well, my day-to-day is I come in every morning, I check over the convoys, we do a turnover, we're called the watch section, so 12 hours off type thing. So I do a changeover with my night guys, and they tell me all the information that I need to know for that day, because during the night they're in charge of getting all the convoys ready for that day. Because, you know, in order for convoys to go out, we have to know, like, 24, 48 hours prior type stuff. So they get all that information together, and then they pass it on to me. And then my job originally was to track these convoys via Merc Chat. And I don't know any other way to say Merc Chat except Merc Chat.
So we had the thing in Iraq. It was like this little Blue Force tracker thing. It was kind of basically a GPS-enabled deal where you could see kind of follow someone on a map, make sure that you weren't like firing the wrong direction. Is it something similar to that, where you're looking at a screen, kind of like monitor, making sure they're on schedule to reach their destination, things like that?
Well, Blue Force tracker, yes, I know what you're talking about, but that's not necessarily what this is. This is more like wording. This is like actually like aim on crack.
Okay. That's cool, that's cool. I think people get aimed. So I can
on a secure line.
Okay. Like chat on crack. Okay, I like that. anytime I can work crack into a story, I like to do that. So, okay.
Yeah, see, Major over here is making me laugh as we continue on.
Of course. That's a job. He's going to poke at you and mess you up. So is this your first deployment, second deployment? Tell me your experience here.
This would be my second deployment.
Okay, where'd you go the first time?
First time I was in the Philippines.
Okay.
I was there for 6 months.
Okay. And whereabouts are you in Afghanistan? If you can't tell me a specific location, if you can just tell me like the nearest like major city, that would kind of help, just so people have an idea of where Afghanistan.
Camp Leatherneck.
Camp Leatherneck.
That's a city in itself.
Well, I know. Is it where in relation to Kandahar is that? I mean.
Relation to Kandahar. What? Northeast? No, northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about northwest, I'd say. Okay. Northwest of Kandahar.
Okay. Yeah, the thing is, when people see
stuff... We're pretty much like smack dab in the middle of Afghanistan.
Okay.
For the most part.
Okay.
Without going too north, if that makes any sense.
Okay. But most people, yeah, they see it on nightly news. They basically see Kandahar and maybe one other city, so that's all they really know. So you got to give them kind of proximity, otherwise they don't really understand. So okay. So how far along are you in your deployment? How long have you been there? How much you got left to go?
Well, let's see. Got here February 23rd. So I've been here a little over 3-something months. And it's kind of in rocky right now if I'm coming home soon or if I'm staying the whole year.
Okay, so it's still up in the air. I just kind of put that. It's kind of not determined yet.
I really don't know for a fact yet because I'm sure you heard on the news. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just things are kind of constantly changing.
Yeah, so I don't know. But the gist is I'm supposed to be here for a year. I'll just put it that way.
Okay, okay.
That's a good way.
Okay.
But it could be sooner.
Okay.
That works.
Okay. And what do you think? Like, if you had to, you know, if you got a kind of an open mic, basically, of seeing someone who's trying to figure out, they watch this stuff on the news, they don't have any family or friends overseas or in the military, in your view, your personal opinion, what's the way to kind of explain what you guys are doing over there, the mission, and kind of why you're there, or why you think it's important? I mean, and I just kind of sum up. You don't have to give me great, you know, long detail, but just kind of what you think if you had to, if somebody grabbed you at a bar or a gas station and asked you, what are you guys doing?
Okay, so we're talking about as a whole then.
Just kind of, yeah, as a whole, and kind of, and like if you had to explain to somebody who just really doesn't know this at all other than what they see on TV.
As a whole, I'd say we're doing pretty much exactly what we did back in after World War II. We went in and we destroyed the Japanese or whatever. However, we didn't bomb the crap out of them here. But my point is afterwards, we came in and we tried to build them back up or whatnot. You know what I'm saying? Like, it might be a bad example, but what I'm getting at is we're trying to build them up to where they can defend themselves or whatnot. If that makes any sense.
No, that makes sense.
That's so, like, what we did in Iraq, I say we did in Japan, too, because honestly, I think that's what we did, because when we bombed them, we crippled them really bad. And then we made a presence in there, and we built Japan back up, and we just handed it back over to them not too long ago. So.
I saw they sent some photos.
I would say, I'm sorry, what?
Go ahead, finish. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
I'd say the main gist of what's going on here is, you know, making a good rapport with the people, telling them that we're not here to occupy their lands. We're here to help them, and we're here to give them a stable government to where they can live in a sense of peace and not live in a sense of fear. I say that's the best way to put it.
Oh, that's a pretty good summary. I noticed that. I sent a couple photos of you, like, on duty, kind of doing work, just kind of maybe include the story. And one of them, I think you were on foot patrol, you're geared up, and at one point talking with, there's like a little cluster of little Afghan kids that you're kind of talking to. Do you have a chance in your job to interact much with the civilians, or is it kind of rare? I mean, I know you said you worked in the nights.
It's very rare.
Is it very rare? Okay. Well, I mean, do you like it when you can? I mean, do you wish you could do more of that? Or?
Oh, my goodness. I beg and I plead. And sometimes I get my way, and sometimes I don't. Like, my original job, I'm sure, as you've noticed, if you read the article, is Motor T or whatever.
Right.
And I'm sitting at a desk, and one of the things that I said in the initial interview was, what is one of your biggest challenges? And to be honest, it's sitting at a desk. Because, you know, everybody knows when you join a military branch, it's not going to be the same thing that you signed up completely. There's going to be, you know, the read between the lines, you know, oh, by the way, you might have to do this, you might have to do that. But when you sign up to, you know, be out in the field, drive trucks, freaking supply people, stuff like that, you know, you have that kind of gist, that's what you're going to do. You don't ever think that you're going to be that one sitting behind a desk watching the convoys. So, I mean, it's been a real challenge for me for the fact that, you know, I'd rather be out there. I mean, most Marines would, I would say, but I'm not going to speak for everyone.
No, I think that was a common feeling when I was in. That was 8 or 9 years ago, man. I totally hear you. Yeah, I understand the frustration from a personal perspective. Also, I've done a little bit of both. Drove a little bit out there and done stuff there, but also had to sit back in the tent running radios and listening to what was going on. So I can hear you, man. You mentioned
exactly.
You mentioned something toward the end of the questions about your family's history. So your father was in Vietnam. Your grandfather was in World War II. Did that influence your joining the Corps? And do you talk with them at all about your service? Do you communicate? Do they ask how things are going and how it compares or is different to their service, their experience?
Well, I would definitely say that mine and my grandfather's relationship grew tremendously after I joined the military. Like, because I was a problem child, like it said in the article, and I don't think my grandfather really took me seriously as being a man until I stepped up and joined the military. He never told me that, but I could definitely feel a huge difference after I joined because, like, he was always asking about it. He was always interacting with me after that because both of my sisters, they went on to college and did their thing, and they had a good relationship with my grandfather. Because my grandfather's like 85 years old, and he's still working to do his construction.
Wow.
So, yeah. He may be like towards his end right now of doing construction, but I don't get to talk to him that often out here, so I don't know what he's really up to anymore. But I would definitely say that, like I said, our relationship got better there. Mine and my dad, we've been close the whole way. And, yeah, I always like... It's kind of a dorky thing, but as a kid, I used to dress up and play Army all the time. Like, I used to steal my sister's ROTC freaking uniform when she was in ROTC because they had the BDUs, the old uniform we used to have. And I'd dress up and go play in the freaking woods and stuff and pretend like I'm shooting people. So, I mean, I've always planned on being in the military. And I'd say once I got about 16, that's when I was like, I really want to be a Marine because... That's being the toughest you can be. So, and when I had my last fallout in high school, I had someone step up for me. Is like, I think we can still salvage this guy. And what we need to do is we need to give him more structure. So they're like, we're going to put him in the Young Marine program. And I'm sure you've heard of the Young Marines, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I went in the Young Marines. I was probably the oldest Young Marine there. I was like 17, 18. And then and there I knew, hey, if I join the service, it's going to be being a Marine. I pretty much turned my back on JROTC because they were the Army, and I was like, Army, Marine Corps, what's up? You know how it is.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
I would say that's probably like where it really came into play.
Well, I mean, I this is kind of a standard question I ask anybody when they're on deployment. A lot of people back home like to hear this. What do you miss so far? I mean, you've been there about 3 months, but you got a little ways to go. What are you missing? I mean, obviously your wife and your family, but things about home or things about the U.S. or even things back, Red Bank, Chattanooga. I don't know. Anything you kind of comes to mind when you're getting kind of down and kind of wondering, what you're going to do when you get back?
Well, I miss my truck. I mean, that's usually one of the first answers. I'm sure you hear too,
right.
Besides
now,
wife and.
I'm
not gonna be missing the gas, though.
Right,
that's
right.
For sure.
What kind of truck do you have?
I have a 1500 Z71, 6-inch lift, 35-inch tires.
That is a truck.
Yeah, it's a beauty.
Is your wife?
But after I heard about how much gas was, I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
It's getting even higher, man. It's kind of bumping up and down, but we'll see where it ends up in the middle of summer. That's always usually the worst. Now, is your wife? Is she from around here? Does she stay in Lejeune? She go back
home? No, she's originally from Lakeland, Florida.
Okay. And was she able to? Did she go home while you're deployed, or is she staying there at Lejeune? Or
no. I actually bought a house in Maysville, North Carolina, if you ever been out there.
I think I've seen signs.
Yeah, it's kind of in the backwoods. I kind of stay away from all the other Marines.
No, I don't blame you. I lived down in Topsail Island for about a year when I got my off-base housing pay when I was made sergeant, and then right after that I got back from Iraq and got out, but it was a nice little spot to be at for a while.
My goodness. You're all the way in Topsail?
Yeah, it was nice, man. It was
well drive, but well, then again, who were you with?
Second Recon.
Oh, well, that's why, then. That makes sense, then.
Right out the back gate.
Top cell, like, right there.
Yeah, it was easy. It was easy shot.
If you were on main side, you were screwed.
No, we were the back gate. I just hit out the back gate, go over the bridge, down the island, I was home, and I had two other roommates, so three of us, two sergeants and a corporal, we split rent and didn't pay anything, so it was a pretty good deal. It was a lot nicer. Probably a nice place I live since. You know, that's 8 years later now. I got a degree, and I don't live in a nice place as that. So anyway, I won't reminisce with you.
I hear you.
Well, what's just? I'll kind of wrap it up, man. What are you looking forward to when you get back? When you get done, you get a chance to get a little leave and come home. Are you coming back here? Are you gonna take a trip? You know, I've got plans. What's going on when you get back? What's your little reward for yourself?
Obviously, the main thing on mind is, you know, missing family or whatnot, because I miss my wife and I miss my family, like I'm sure normal people do. I mean, really, I want to take a trip. I just don't know what I'm going to do yet. I originally said that when I got back, when I came to Chattanooga, I'd take my wife up to the place where we originally had our first date. Mm-hmm. We had our first date up on Signal Mountain. Kind of like a little romantic thing.
Cool. Would you guys go to a restaurant up there or just go to like Signal Point and pick?
No, actually, you know the, I don't know if it actually has a point, but there's a place right there when you go up the mountain on the front side. There's houses that are on one side, and there's this little bluff right off the side, and from right there you can see Red Bank High School, and you can see like all of Chattanooga for the most part. I know there's several of those places, but there's one in particular that I've gone to before. I just can't think of the name of it right now. But we went up there, and we had been talking for over a year and a half or whatever. And pretty much the whole time we'd been together, the whole time we were talking, we had never actually met each other. We'd just been talking. So when we met for the first time in Kennesaw, Georgia, when we, you know, decided that, hey, we really like each other, I brought her home to see the parents because already a year and a half passed. Mm-hmm. So I brought her home to see the parents or whatever, and that night I took her up on Signal Mountain, and I played her our first song together, which is Living Our Love Song by Jason Michael Carroll, and we danced to it over there off the mountain, and that was our first date.
That's pretty romantic, dude. You score a lot of points for that one. I'll give you that. That's pretty original.
Well, you gotta give me props. I mean, I was in Okinawa for what, a year and a half before I met her the first time. Yeah, I've been thinking it over for a while.
I hear you. No, actually, I was stationed over there for about a year too, man. I know I was on Camp Hansen. So I didn't make my wife till later, but our first date was putt in a movie. So you definitely got me beat there.
Putt putt, nice.
But it was cheap, man. Putt putt in a movie down in Wilmington. It was good. Anyway, man. Hey, I appreciate you taking time to talk to me, dude. And good luck with the rest of the deployment. I hope if you get to come home early, I hope you do. And I think I don't know when they'll run this in the paper. You might just tell your family if they want to see it or get a copy, just to keep an eye out. If they have any questions, they can give me a call. All right, man. Take care.
All right, take care.
Bye.